Welcome back. I'm Ira Flatto. As I say, a screaming volcano is one kind of natural sound. This is another. That's from an evening at the Lake Selva Biological Station in the Costa Rican tropical rainforest, recorded in 2009 as part of a network of microphones that automatically record sounds, the Automated Remote Biodiversity Monitoring Network, or ARBIMON. ARBIMON was developed by a group of researchers from the University of Puerto Rico to eavesdrop on the natural world. And joining me from San Juan is Mitch Aid. He is one of the lead researchers of ARBIMON and professor in the Department of Biology and Tropical Ecology at the University of Puerto Rico. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hello, Ira. Thank you.
Those are just fantastic. How did you get those sounds?
Well, it wasn't really that difficult. We put microphones out in the forest. They were hooked up to a solar panel and an iPod. And the iPod was programmed to record 1 minute of audio every 10 minutes, which gave us 144 recordings a day.
And what made you think about doing that? What gave you the idea to do that?
Well, the funny thing is I'm a plant ecologist, and I've worked in the tropics for over the last 20 years, and we've gotten much better at monitoring the forest. We have permanent plots placed around many, many countries and many forests around the world. We've also have satellite images that help us have a good idea of rates of deforestation and reforestation, but we haven't been nearly as good at monitoring the fauna, the animals in the forest. And so we decided with a group of students and a professor from computer science to see if we could use new technologies that are available to improve biodiversity monitoring.
Mm-hmm. And so in that sound we just heard is the whole forest, everything that was picked up together.
Yes. Yeah, we're not trying to record individual species. We're trying to capture the soundscape, the acoustics of the forest in any one moment. And in that recording, you could hear there was a great tinamou, which is an understory bird species. But in the background, there was also the sounds of the howler monkey.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of insects.
Lots of insects. You have frogs.
Sure. In that particular recording, I'm not sure. In that site in Costa Rica, there are always lots of insects singing along with the birds, the frogs, the monkeys.
Hmm.
And probably some biologists as well.
Well, we have more sounds, but we'd love to play them. We have another sound that was recorded at Lake Selva in Costa Rica. Let's listen to that now. That sounds like there are calls, different calls going out there.
Yeah, the main call is a toucan. People would know that as the bird on Fruit Loops.
You're right. Or in Disney used to use them also. And so is it possible to separate out what all the different sounds are in all these recordings?
Well, all of them, I don't think so.
No.
But a large majority of them, we've been very successful at distinguishing individual songs of specific species.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the major goals of the project, was to create the software that allows the user, the biologist, to go in and create models that can pull out the individual calls of the species that they're interested in.
So the software is the hero here. It can actually pick out the species.
Well, it's not just the software. You always need the biologist that knows the call of their species. One of the things that people always sort of joke is that we're trying to eliminate the biologist. No, we've automated the collection of the data in the field, and we've automated the species identification, But in between those two steps, you need somebody that really knows their organisms and is able to create the models that then can work to help automate the identification.
I'd like to bring on another guest who is using that software, the Arbimon system, also in her own research. Laura May Cayado is a postdoctoral research associate at the University of Vermont in Burlington. She joins us by phone from San Jose, Costa Rica. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Tell us about what your research is, what you're involved with.
Well, I'm on the other side, I'm in the water. I am a marine biologist, and we're trying to implement a similar system that our colleagues in Puerto Rico have done in the forest. So we're specifically interested in giving or following cetacean species like humpback whales and bottlenose dolphins in different parts of Central America. But we're also interested in the soundscape, like information about what species of fish are more common. Some of these species of fish are prey for the dolphins, and so it gives us a better way of monitoring these animals, which will occupy really, really large areas.
So you put the microphones in the water and you leave them there, correct?
Yes, so we have a special underwater unit that we leased from colleagues in Hawaii. And these units are called EARs, Ecological Acoustic Recorders. And these units can be deployed underwater and stay there for up to a year. We have one already running in Belize, and we're hoping to deploy another one in Bocas del Toro in Panama. And hopefully next year, a few more in the Pacific side of Costa Rica and in Panama.
And give us an idea of what kinds of sounds you've captured.
So we get everything. In Belize, for example, we're getting lots of fish. Fish, contrary to what many people think, they're very noisy. They use sound for communication. We also get lots of shrimps, snapping shrimps, and lobster sounds. And, of course, we can get, once in a while, we get a manatee calling, and most of the time we get bottlenose dolphins. This is in the case of Belize. But you can also, in other parts, these units have been deployed all over the world where people are using them to study blue whales, minke whales, humpback whales, et cetera.
Is the software able to differentiate the sounds and tell you which...
So we want to use Arbimon, as Mitch was explaining, to use the tools that Arbimon provides to us, because we can storage, upload these recordings, make them available to the public, but at the same time we can use tools to identify specific species. So we can use, for example, frequency or temporal patterns using the Arbimon software to find, for example, dolphins in thousands and thousands of recordings. So that saves us a lot of our time and money as well.
Yeah. And what can you do? What is the aim of that research when you're able to identify?
So, yes, and in our case, we are particularly interested in learning how human activities affect a cetacean habitat. So we are hoping that we can associate, for example, boat traffic with changes in acoustic behavior of the dolphins. Also, if we stop listening to some animals when in their home range, may indicate that these animals are leaving their habitat. So it provides us with lots of tools that we can use to propose strategies of management and conservation in these particular aquatic animals.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for taking time to be with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. Laura May Cayado is a postdoctoral research associate at the University of Vermont in Burlington. She was talking to us from San Jose, Costa Rica. Our number, 1-800-989-8255, if you'd like to talk about things you can hear, things that are going on in the jungles of Costa Rica or Puerto Rico. We're talking about what sounds that are there with Mitch Aid. Mitch, we have another clip I want to play. Some more sounds. Maybe we'll play it and you can tell us what we're listening to. Let's play that one now. Well, Mitch, what are we listening to there?
Again, that's the toucan in the forest in Costa Rica. The chestnut mandible toucan.
Mm-hmm. Any other animals in there?
I'm sure there, again, there's lots of insects that are yet to be identified.
Do you ever get any wild boars, peccaries, things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, mate. I think in this recorder, in recording, there might be a bark of a peccary. People might know it as a javelina. It has a range that extends all the way up into Arizona and New Mexico and Texas. There it is. Almost sounds like a bark, a dog barking, but that's...
I thought we had the wrong tape on there for a second. Yeah,
no,
it was like a dog.
No.
It's a dog barking. Do these tell you anything about the health of the animals or the birds out there, or are they just to collect the sounds?
Well, the health of the individuals calling, no. But the idea is, the main idea behind this is to have good long-term data to follow the changes in the populations over time. Now, we know that climate change and habitat degradation can change the distribution and an abundance of species. The problem is that we just don't have the long-term data to say how these factors are affecting it. Mm-hmm. And so if we know that a species is frequently calling at a certain time of day, and we've seen that pattern for years, and then it slowly declines, that gives us an idea of what's happening more at the population level of the species rather than the health of individuals.
Let's go to the phones out to Davis, California. Let's go to Phil. Hi, Phil. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you very much, Ira.
Go ahead.
I was wondering if the software has been used to monitor amphibian populations, because I was amazed when I was in Costa Rica how individual the characteristic sounds of the individual frogs were. And, you know, because those amphibians are disappearing.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. We've recently published a paper on amphibians here in Puerto Rico. The first permanent station that we established was back in 2008. So now we have over 5 years of data. And we put it in a wetland in Puerto Rico where a new species of coqui, this is the common frog in Puerto Rico, but a new species had been discovered. And, of course, there wasn't very much information on this species. And we established the station there. It was collecting 144 recordings a day over a five-year period. And at this site, there were at least six different species of frogs that are calling, and often they're calling simultaneously. But given that they use different frequencies for their call, they don't overlap, and we were able to create models for each of the different species and come up with good 6 years' data of how populations have changed across time.
That's great. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR. Talking with Dr. Mitch Aid, University of Puerto Rico. Let's go to the phones to Eric in Madison. Hi, Eric.
Hi. I had a question about if there's been any progress in identifying to species level of bats in the neotropics. I know that when I was studying researching bats in Trinidad and Tobago, some of the anabat detectors and the frequencies that we were getting, we were only really able to identify to genus and not to individual species. And so I'm curious if the guest knows of any advances in the technologies to get to species of you know, the large diversity of bats in the tropics.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, thank you. Our focus has not been on bats. Most bats are calling at higher frequencies than what we're monitoring with the microphones that we're using. In some cases, we get bats at lower frequencies, and we have been successful in modeling those particular species. But it's something that we would like to do in the future, but just getting started, it's kept us very busy just trying to work with birds, amphibians, monkeys, and insects.
Yeah. Let's go to Rob in Rexburg, Idaho. Is that right, Rob?
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm a plant biologist by vocation, but my avocation is birding. And so I was wondering, with all of the apps that are available for smartphones these days that oftentimes include the calls, if there was any talk or the potential to incorporate this into sort of a layman's kind of program to help identify birds for us. And again, I appreciate you taking my call, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right now, this project is more than anything a proof of concept. We received money from the National Science Foundation, we have shown that we can collect data or automate data collection, and that the tools that we've developed for automating species identification are working well. And now the project is in the phase of trying to attract more users into the system and expand with the tools and the information that we have. And one of the things that we've always talked about and wanted to do is get birders involved in this project. We haven't set that up yet, but that's one of our first priorities, because the idea is hopefully to have these permanent recording stations around the globe collecting data, thousands of recordings. It's impossible for us to go through all those recordings, but I think it would be something that could be very fun and interesting for birders to listen to.
And crowdsourcing. Yeah, uh-huh. You can help them do it. And we have a lot of birders who listen to this program. So you're going to get you will get some response. Before we go, I wanted to know, is there a site on the web that we can all go listen to these sounds on our own?
Yes, there is. It's called arbiman.net. arbimon.net.
And if you couldn't write that down, you can go to our website at sciencefriday.com, and we have the link up there for you. Sounds exciting. I'm sure you'll get lots of reaction from all the birders who listen to us. Thank you very much, Dr. Ade, for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Mitch Ade, the researcher on Arbimon, professor in the Department of Biology and Tropical Ecology at the University of Puerto Rico. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about weather on the sun. Tsunami on the sun. Million miles an hour. A million mile an hour tsunami on the sun. Sky's not falling. Don't worry about it. We'll be right back to tell you why. Stay with us.